In the name of Jesus. Your gospel, you will take it to the White House. Very soon, you will be invited to the White House to minister. And you will change lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. Bow down your heads this morning. He's a covenant-keeping God. Thank you, Lord. You are a covenant keeper. You are the Lord. Your promise, they are yea and amen. Yes. Thank God, you, Lord, for the testimonies. Thank you for the testimonies concerning our brother's friend, concerning his cousins, concerning our brother and his school in Nigeria. You are a covenant-keeping God. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want us to pray a prayer. I share this revelation with the ministers this morning. This morning, while I was praying, it was as if I was ushered in to see an head of state. A head of state. There was a room in which we have to wait to see the head of state. But while we are waiting in that room, we were about bad-mouthing the head of state we want to see. Can you imagine that? Myself and the people that were waiting to see the head of state, we were bad-mouthing. Is it bad mouth, we call it? And the head of state heard everything that we said. You know? And then he opened the door and said, I've heard all what you have said. So, when we discovered that we got caught, we said, okay, when it comes out, before we start going in, we'll be begging. Okay? Not knowing that there was another door by which the head of state can go out. So while we are waiting, in the waiting room, that his office in the middle, there was another door by which he could go out. So while we are waiting, saying we want to beg him, he has already left through the other door. So when I woke up, I was asking, what is this? I want us to arise this morning. Every sin of backbiting, every sin that I've committed with my mouth, knowingly or unknowingly, Lord, have mercy on me. Sin, things that I've said, that will make my benefactor to say no. When things have already been approved for me from heaven, it's an opportunity to come before an head of state. I want you to know that. Even when that opportunity was granted, because of our mouth, we missed the opportunity. Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on your church. Everything that I've used my mouth to say, careless talk that makes my benefactor to be far away from me, that makes my benefactor to abandon me, that turns opportunity to nothing for me. Lord, have mercy on me this morning. In the name of Jesus, have mercy. If you read the book of Zechariah, Joshua was brought before the Lord. He never knew he was having a filthy garment. Until the angel of God came to him and said, change that filthy garment. Change my garment this morning. At times we think we are righteous, but we are nothing. Our righteousness is like a filthy rag in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Brethren, pray. Call for mercy this morning. Call for mercy. He said, if we have mercy on whom we have mercy on, I will show compassion unto whom I will show compassion unto. It is not unto him that runneth, it is not unto him that willeth. It is God that showeth mercy. Lord, make me a candidate for your mercy this morning. Make me a candidate for your compassion. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. One more prayer before we go. Let me read this passage to you. Exodus 12:40-41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now, what do I want to bring out from here is that the Lord told Abraham, his descendants will be in foreign land for how many years? 400 years. But they had a protracted stay of 430 years. They spent extra 30 years. Again, at another time, he told them they will be taken to Babylonian captivity for 70 years. If you read the book of Jeremiah 29, verse 10, you will see it there. So they will be taken to captivity for 70 years. But do you know how many years they spent there? 77 years. They spent extra 7 years. So there are certain forces and factors that delay prophecy and timing in the lives of people. And as a result, a lot of God's precious people are serving the extra time or doing the overtime. What God has told you specifically is overstayed already. I know mine. What are you long overdue for? In what areas of your life are you serving extra time? What is that delay that is eating away at the core of your usefulness and crevices of your existence? You are going to pray by the mandate of heaven. You are going to declare and decree that every prophecy hanging over your head, over my head, and destiny, they must be fulfilled. Go ahead and talk to God. Declare prophecy hanging over my head, hanging over my destiny. Let them begin to become. Let them begin to come to fulfillment. The Lord said, "In my house, none shall be barren." Therefore, let barrenness come to an end in our midst. Lord, pay me back in arrears what I have lost. Pay me back in arrears what I have lost, Lord. Today and this week, because I'm before you. Let me bring forth. Let there be a manifestation of God's goodness and greatness in my life. We had this morning at the workers' meeting, the goodness of God. Father, people are testifying about goodness of God. I want to testify too about your goodness. I want to be a testifier of your goodness. Talk to God this morning. In all areas of my life, I want to be a testifier of your goodness. What are those hanging blessings that are yet to come to pass? Father, let them begin to come to pass now. I want to testify in the name of Jesus. So shall it be in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And let your amen be sound. And God will bless you for saying amen. 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 It is well with you. Have your seat. The joy of the Lord is your portion. Amen. Last week, we talked about calming our fears. You know, the word of God is there for us to calm our fears, no matter what. This morning, in continuation of that, I want us to examine a different kind of peace. That's the title of this message. A different kind of peace. I was searching over the week, what should I talk about? Then I saw this, you know, passage. You know, Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. Now let's read 7 together. Let's read it together. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Bow down your heads. Father, let your peace that passeth all understanding. Keep my heart and mind in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your peace that passeth all understanding, let them keep my mind in the mighty name of Jesus. To say you will not be persecuted is a lie. You will be persecuted, but you will never be defeated in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. When you look at Luke 22, verses 49 and 51, an incident happened there. Luke 22, verses 49 and 51. That was where Jesus was being arrested. His disciples were scared. They were worried. They were stressed. The impulsive response to that was to be aggressive. When you are stressed, women are good at that. I'm sorry to say, when they are stressed, they take it out on their children. Is that a lie? Am I lying? When their husband has stressed them, you know, the children suffer. Praise the Lord. So, the impulsive response to that was to be aggressive. So Peter, having a sword with him, what did he do? He drew it out and cut off the ear of Malchus, the officer of Cephas, the Jewish high priest. Those people that have come to arrest Jesus Christ. But you discover that the response of Jesus Christ was unexpected. What did he do? He rebuked Peter. And the rest of apostles said, no more of this. No more violence. Then he touched the ear of the officer and restored it. My question is, what do you think Peter was thinking in his mind? What will I have done if I'm there? Do you think you'll have behaved better than Peter? Is it only the ear that Peter caught? I will have aim the head of that, you know, servant to let them know that I am out for war, if it were me. But thank God. Peter must be thinking in his head that this is a war. And this man is so calm. They have come to arrest you. Do you know what is going on? They have come to arrest you. You might not come back alive. You might die. Let's tell them you can fight. Let's fight this war. Peter must have been thinking in his heart that, does he know that these evil people are going to kill you using the cruelest of all methods, crucifixion? Of course, Jesus knew that he was on his way to being crucified. But this was the reason he has spent time praying and agonizing at Gethsemane. So that he will have peace, even in the face of that persecution. Brethren, I pray, in the face of persecution, you will have peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say a better amen. Amen. So this was the reason he intuitively said, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cross pass over me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Let the will of God come to pass. So Jesus knew the excruciating torture he was about to undergo. He knew that his bones would be broken, his flesh would be torn, and his blood would be spilled. Yet he knew something else. Jesus knew that no matter what, his Father was in control and that he has his best interest in mind. This exactly was the reason for his conclusive prayer in Luke 23, verse 46. In Luke 23, verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When you are faced with persecution, when you are faced with things that you don't know anything about, do you commit your ways into the hand of God? Or in your heart, right there, you want revenge? One of our brothers when he was still driving taxi, was attacked by armed robbers. They seized his purse. He said he normally do one thing. Before he gets into his house, as he was returning from his taxi journey, he will have branched in the bank and dropped the money, leaving just $20 in his purse, in his wallet. And that's what he did that day. So as the guy came with a gun, pop, he says, everything. He just gave him the purse and his credit cards and everything and the $20. Immediately that one saw $20, he just escaped with something. Okay? So we thank God, nothing happened. When the brother now came, I said, well, we thank God, he didn't shoot you. You are not harmed. Now, you know what we are going to do now? We are going to pray for that guy. He looked at me and said, what is wrong with Pastor? I said, yes. That guy, we are going to pray for him so that God will touch him. He will regret this one he has done and he will never do it again. But to that brother, I was saying something in Greek. Pastor, what we should do is that we should curse this guy right now. I said, no, Jesus will not do that. For God did not love a sinner to die. He wants a sinner to come to what? To repentance. God will grant us peace in the mighty name of Jesus. When you look at the story we are talking about Jesus, over time, the disciples had noticed a certain kind of peace in Jesus. That was uncommon. How could he be so relaxed on the sea when there was a tsunami? How could he be so calm all these years when it was obvious that people wanted to stone or kill him? And now, how could he be so composed, even with the knowledge of imminent death, because he was being arrested? There was an allergy in my office when I became a pastor. He said, look, Pastor, come. I understand you are not a pastor. I said, yes. But I want to ask you a question. It's an allergy. Very intelligent man. He said, Jesus Christ, the very day he chose Judas Iscariot as a disciple, he knew that that is the man that is going to be responsible for his death. He knew that that is the man that is going to point him out and is going to be crucified and killed. He said, then he asked me, if somebody is just coming to your church and right there as you are standing, God told him that man is going to be responsible for your death, say, what will you do? I was baffled. I said, Elijah, where did you get this story? He said, no, this is not a story. This is a reality. This is what happened in the life of Jesus. I'm not a Christian, but I read it, and I believe it. He said, what will you do? He said, you know what? Pray that we have the kind of peace that Jesus Christ has. I said, thank you, Elijah. That is the Holy Spirit speaking. But he's speaking that through that man. May you have peace in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever situation you face, may you have peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'll be traveling back to Lagos, so Abuja, in less than a month. After working 25 years of meritorious service, voluntary retirement at the age of 44, so by the time I'm 45, I'm supposed to get my gratuity and pension. 45 came, I didn't hear anything. 50, 55, nothing. It was when I was 55 that I now had the opportunity of getting home. What is going on with my pension? They said they couldn't find my file. And somebody now called me behind and said, did we get the file? Oh, but you know, Pastor, I said, me? You better hold the money and let it go forever. And somebody said, no, you work for it. You deserve it. Just give them whatever they want so that they can look for the file. I left the house and I came. 2 years later, they were the one who called me and said, your file has been found. Those who said they lost the file, they now found the file. Now we now started clearance. Clearance took almost another 3 years. When I went home this year in March for solemn assembly, was when I got the letter from University of Lagos clearing me that, okay, they're now sending it to the bosser, that bosser, please prepare this man's gratuity and everything. And by the time we got to the bosser, the bosser said, well, we don't do that anymore. It's now one pension transition, agency. And as I went back to the woman, I said, yeah, the woman said it is true. We only need a letter from the bosser to transfer your file to that agency. But don't expect miracle from that agency. That agency is owing a lot of people. It's that same agency that is now calling that we should come for verification. And they were asking for documents that you cannot even think of. Asking for my first pay slip that I got in 1978. My letter of appointment in 1978. Where can I get that from? All my letters of promotion. Most important thing, letter of confirmation, which was written sometimes in 1986, although back there to 1980. But I decided to exercise peace. If it comes, well, if it doesn't come, But they're now assuring me, one of our sisters that went from London, said she has been able to finalize her own. She said her name was never on the payroll of pensioners. Now they are going to put it there. So that's what is going to happen to my own too now. They will say, all these 15, how many years now? 20 years, almost 20 years now. Your name has never been on our payroll. So we will now put it. If you don't exercise peace, they will push your hand in what you are not supposed to do. We must allow the peace of God to enter into our lives. So, the disciples had noticed a certain kind of peace in Jesus that was uncommon. How could he be so composed even when the knowledge of imminent death is here? It is understandable for people to say they are at peace when they are in perfect health, have a good amount of surplus funds in their bank accounts, have no one quarreling with them or stressing them out, and have nothing to worry about. But when the opposite of any of this is true, then a different kind of peace is needed to stay calm, brethren. And I'm sure this is what we go through. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and what? And with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I pray this will be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Early this year, we were coming back from a prayer retreat from Texas. The aircraft was big enough. A lot of weather conditions, a lot of flight canceled. Very bumpy as we are coming. I remember a lady sat beside me. I noticed that each time we felt a shaking, she reflexively grabbed my hand, then drops it when calm returned. I knew that what was happening, but did not say anything until about the third time. Then I said, are you scared? He said, aren't you? She said she was sorry for grabbing my hand. But that wasn't used to flying all these, that she wasn't used to flying all this type of aircraft. Now, to calm her, I told her that bumps aren't uncommon in any kind of aircraft, big or small. She obviously looked at me with admiration, thinking how I could be so calm under such circumstances. Then at the stage, I went asleep. I didn't even know whether I was even snoring. I'm not sure. But I went asleep. So when we eventually landed, the lady said, in all this situation, you are still able to sleep? I said, my father, when he was on that high seas, and everything was as if the boat is going to capsize, what did he do? He looked at me. He said, who is your father? I said, Chief Emmanuel. He said, I don't know about that. I said, you don't know Chief Emmanuel? The richest man that ever lived on earth. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He said, his name is Emmanuel. God be with us. When he was in that ship, He was sleeping. The disciples went to wake him up. So I don't have any problem. Whenever you face any difficulty like this, next time, go to bed and you'll be okay with you. The man said, I presume you are a pastor. I said, by the grace of God. I said, pray for me. And then we held our hands and we prayed. Brethren, if you submit your fears to the Lord will take care of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the text in that above passage that we read says, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. This means that ordinary people cannot understand it. Don't you care we perish? Was the disciples' question to Jesus when he was sleeping in the boat in the face of a strong storm. Of course, Jesus cared, but he was sure that his father was not about to let them perish. So he would rather sleep and recoup some energy rather than worry about anything. May you have such grace in the mighty name of Jesus. May such grace come upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. No matter what you face, look at our Jesus Christ. With prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, make your request known to God and let the peace of God come upon you. Acts of Apostle 21, Paul was about to head out to Jerusalem, but there was prophecies of imminent danger to his life upon arrival at Jerusalem. A prophet named Agabus took Paul's belt, bound his hands and feet, and prophesied. Thus the Holy Spirit says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who holds this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. What was Paul's response? Paul surprised them. In verses 13 and 14, Paul said, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus our Lord. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. The peace of God is not ordinary. It is the type that knows that there may be imminent danger, but the Lord is in control. The Lord will always be in control of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. The peace of God is when you know there is shooting on the street, and yet you have peace. You pass there all the time because you know God is with you and he will never disappoint you in the mighty name of Jesus. So it is this type that submits that David did. It is this type of submit that David did in Psalm 23 verse 4. Psalm 23 verse 4. So though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will do what? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It is this type of peace that knows that you may not have lost, you may have lost all that you have, but is bold to say, as Job said in Job 19:25, I know my Redeemer what? Lives. So God's kind of peace is the one where the carrier is not afraid to die because he or she knows that death is only a pathway to everlasting peace and the Almighty God. God's kind of peace does not live in fear. God's kind of peace dwells in stress and does not make an abode for worry. That's why I said you will be persecuted, but you will not be visited. Say amen. So these things may flash by your life occasionally, but God's peace will always tell you it is what? It is well. My question this morning is, do you have this type of peace? Let's rise up. Let's rise up. Let's rise up. Even when the finances is saying red, when we wanted to buy this place, I won't deceive you, I was worried. Because we have already lost a smaller property because we didn't have $10,000 to add to what we have. Just $10,000. We look everywhere. Money was not coming. And I'm not the type that would be imposing money on, fees on people. Hey, men should pay this, women should pay. No, I don't like that. Mm-mm. God is the owner of his work and he must do it. And he did it. He did it. But how? Do you know that at the prayer conference in Texas, they now asked us to sow seed. and put anything we want on that seed. Ah, if I get home and I call ministers meeting and say, well, I want to sell, sow this seed, we will not sow it. Because they will tell, Pastor, what is wrong with you? Are you okay? The next person people I should call is the members of the board of trustees, of which my wife will be, I know, we do want to be heartbroken. Ah, Baba Biji, no, we need money. I just bypass all of them right there at the camp. I didn't know where I get the check from. The church check, I wrote 1,000. I'm not supposed to sign the church check. That day I signed it. I said, God, look at it, oh, it is left for you. Lo and behold, this property came. Lo and behold, more than 10,000 that we need becomes about, we were looking for 48,000 before. Now we are looking for 60,000 because 300,000, 20% is 60. So, not just 10,000 we need now. We need that 10,000 plus addition of about 12,000 or so. But miraculously, God provided. Bow down your heads. In all situations, there must be peace. Peace of God, knowing that there's nothing impossible for him. When you are being persecuted at work, you will not be defeated. For the peace of God will overcome you. You will receive the spirit to pursue, to overtake, and to recover all. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I receive the spirit of thanksgiving. I receive the spirit of a different kind of peace that resides in our Lord Jesus Christ. That even in the face of persecution, he remained calm. He committed anything into everything to the hands of the Lord. He said, Lord, let thy will be done. Father, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. Magnify him this morning. It is a different kind of peace. You will enjoy it in full. But upon Zion, Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. I possess my possession today because I have this peace in me. A different kind of peace in the mighty name of Jesus. God knows. He has said his word. His word will not fall to the ground. He told Jeremiah. I think Jeremiah 12:28 or so. I will hasten to perform my word. Perform your word in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Persecuted but not defeated. And you will be a city of praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise away thee, O Lord, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I shall be counted among the joyful ones in Zion. I shall be counted among the joyful ones in Zion, whose prayers are answered. I shall be counted among the joyful ones in Zion, whose prayers are answered. Talk to God, prophesy, decree, evil dream, evil revelation, evil prophecy will not come to pass in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, mighty God. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Brethren, let us quickly stretch forth our hands to the man of God and pray that evil revelation will not come to pass in your life. The mercy of God and the peace of God that passeth understanding will guide your heart in Jesus' name. The Lord that used you today will not abandon you. You will never become an old instrument in the hands of God. He will replenish back unto you every anointing, every virtue that has gone out of you this morning. And the Lord will use you more and more in Jesus' name. He will give you more revelation of his word in Jesus' name. The word that you have spoken today will not stand against you on the judgment day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. We thank you, Lord, for sending your word to us today. Father, we say thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We pray, oh Lord God, that your word of today will not be in vain in our lives. Amen. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your peace that passeth all understanding will guide our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.